Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And we're kind of in a series on the mind. This morning I'd like to talk to you about the battleground of the mind, how the mind's the battleground. And you have to recognize that Satan is after your mind. You got to fill it with the right things so he doesn't have it. You know, when you get born again, you know, when you get into the kingdom, how many of you got it? Your mind doesn't get saved. Your spirit man gets born again. But your mind, he has to now be retrained to fit in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? I graduated from high school when I was a little over 3 months after my 17th birthday, I graduated from high school because our school would let you go if you had the credits just half a year, half a day, your senior year. So I thought that sounded good, Pastor Jerry. I thought, well, praise the Lord, I'll get out of school as quick as I can until I hit the workforce and realize, you know, school wasn't so bad after all. And like one of the jobs I got after I got out of school was, you know, it was a wood factory. And in Jasper in those days, those wood factories were just humming. I mean, they were buzzing. And they had other factories too, but they were just buzzing. I mean, and I don't think there's any exaggeration on this. I think you could get 3 jobs in one day without a problem. You could start in the morning, not like it, quit, go get another one, not like it, quit, after lunch and go get another one. Because I think they'd hire a duck if it walked by in those days. Seriously, man, I remember going up when I got this job. It was 2 of us went in there at once because I was going up to apply for this job. And this guy was hitchhiking, which I knew, and I picked him up. And he said, I'm just going up to Jasper to look for a job. I said, well, I'm going to this one place. He went to the rubber plant. I said, no, I'm not going in there. And I'd already experienced that before. And so I'm not going in there. And so anyway, I took him. We both went in there, and they hired both of us on the spot. That's how easy it was to get a job. But my first job, they had like 4 departments to this factory. They had what they called the machine room, where they machined all the parts for. They made wood furniture, office furniture, desk, those kind of things, hutches, and I don't know, a few other things, I guess. But you know, they would machine it, then they send it to the cabinet room for you to put it all together, and then they send it to the finish room for the guys to spray the finish on it, and then they send it to the shipping room for them to box it up and ship it out. So they hired me and put me in the cabinet room as a drawer fitter. And you would get these desks that come down this conveyor belt, you know, they'd put them together and then they put them on the belt and shove them down to you. And I'm here and there's 4 of us working in the station, you know, and we fit the drawers in them. In other words, the desk has like 6 drawers, and so you got to fit every one of them in there. You got to put them in there. They're just raw drawers, you know, they got runners, metal runners on them and all, but you just stick them in there and you got to balance them a little bit, you know, to get them a little bit level so you can kind of get them close to getting in there. And then you got to sand your gaps around them and get them right and get them level and get them squared and all that. And if you don't, once they get out in the field and they put weight in them, then they won't work right. They may look good when they leave, but if they're not balanced, they don't work right. So you'd have to get that thing just adjusted just right in there. And so that was what my job was, doing that. And, you know, your mind's that way. It's like when you get saved, you got to start adjusting it to the things of the kingdom. You know, we want to sometimes bring into the kingdom what we know, and it doesn't work here. Because God does things differently. And you say, well, how do I know all that? Well, you don't when you first get saved. You got to learn. That's why you got to get yourself in the Word, in your Bible. You got to get in a good church, get submitted to a pastor, somebody that you listen to. See, a lot of people just want a Bible teacher. I'm okay with you as long as you teach me, but don't correct me. You don't really want a pastor. You want a Bible teacher. See, that's a big problem right now. It's like, all right, the minute I say something you don't like, you're gone. And not you. You're still here, obviously. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, so it's like, do you want a pastor or you want a Bible teacher? You can get a Bible teacher on TV. But you're not going to have the blessed life like you should have. You need somebody to tell you every now and then you're thinking squirrely. You're not thinking right. Because anybody that doesn't need correction has already arrived in perfect. He just tried to drive home without correcting the steering wheel.
Oh, no.
I don't want to be anywhere near you because you got to make corrections. You got to make course changes if you're going to get from here to there. And so you have to renew your mind once you get saved. You have to change the way you think. You think, well, you know, because people, have you ever heard people say, well, I just think the Bible says. Well, it isn't good enough just to think the Bible says. My dad named my younger brother Damon. That's his name. And when he named him that, he said, I named him after the two guys in the Bible, Damon and Pythias. Now, I can tell how quiet you are. You don't know that, but they're not in the Bible. They're like, what are they, Greek mythology or something like that? They're not Bible characters. How about David and Jonathan? They're in the Bible. So Dad thought he was giving him a biblical name. And Damon's not in the Bible. Mark's in the Bible. So have you know, you get people like that, they've been in church, some of them have been in church for 20 years and don't know, they don't know much more than that. But yet sometimes some of them think they're scholars. You know, and they don't, you got, and their life is a mess. Some of you know their life is a mess. You know what I mean? Because God wants us to renew our minds. He wants our minds to think like kingdom minds. See? And the only way we do that is by His Word. Amen. We read His Word. We feed on His Word. We let people that we know are reputable, trustworthy, preach the Word to us. And we don't just throw something out because it doesn't agree, you know, with what we've thought. We look at... See, I love it. I think it was the Bereans that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Amen. Jesus even told them in His days, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify to me if you'll just search the Scriptures. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this, about how your mind's the battleground. And if you don't know that, you don't have revelation of that, the devil will take advantage of you. And you have to learn to take control of your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, please. And I want to read a couple verses there, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, or you could say veiled, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, how many know who that is? Talking about Satan, the God of this world hath, notice what he's done, blinded the minds. What's he after? The mind. Blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. So what the devil does is he blinds the minds of those that are out in the world, lest they get a glimpse of the glorious gospel of Christ. Or some translate the gospel of Christ's glory. Why is that? Because he knows if anybody sees Jesus for who he really is, he's lost them. He's lost them. They're going to leave. So he keeps their mind veiled. You see people, and as where you're at in your walk with God and your mind renewal where you're at, you see people that live their lives a certain way, and you think, why are you doing this? You don't have to have this messed up life. Right? You don't have to be a candidate for the, was that guy, Jerry Springer show. I'm old enough to remember that. I mean, personally, I don't even know very many sinners was like some of the nutty people I heard about on that show, but I guess there are. But I mean, you don't have to live your life that way. There's a better way. Now, this verse is really precious to me because it just it really is a real big part of my life, because that's what happened to me. I was just going along, just living my life. I'm going along just doing what I do, which is drugs. And that's the lifestyle I live. And I'm enjoying, or at least I think I'm enjoying it. It's all I know. I'm living that way. That's the way I live. And this is, my wife wants me to let you know, this is all BC, before Christ. I'm assuming you're tracking with me here.
We are.
Yeah, this is not something that's currently happening. Yeah, right. It's like I kissed my secretary this week. But you need to know the rest of the story. I'm married to her. Okay? She was kissing me out front of the church one time. I said, "No, stop that." I said, "Not everybody knows." It's driving by. She just can't keep her hands off of me. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. But I'm just living my life. And I know about Jesus. My mom is, she's born again. And of course, she got spirit filled. And of course, you know, when your mind's blinded, you don't really know what all that means. Or, you know a little bit of what you think it might mean. But, you know, I know at one point she got kicked out of her, she got the left foot of fellowship from her church that she went to. And, you know, later on I understood why. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues, and they gave her the left foot of fellowship, her and some other people from the church. Those were the charismatic days when a lot of the denominational churches were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of them were changing. Some of them were just kicking the people out. Amen. And so she was in the one where they kicked the people out. And so she started going to a Pentecost church. But if your mind's blinded, that doesn't mean anything to you, really. You just think she's weird. She's different, strange. And so, you know, she's praying for us. She's praying for me, Randy, my sister Kathy, and I don't know whether Damon was, I guess he was probably, yeah, he was probably just a babe, a little guy at the time. Praying for us and having people pray for us. And so I'm just going along. I'm living my life. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't have any problems the way I'm living. It's fine with me. I think about Jesus every now and then. I think about him. But I'm thinking about, you know, if you're going to get saved, you wait till you're about 90. When the party's over, and right before you die, you confess Jesus as Lord. I mean, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you let things in life happen. But anyway, all of a sudden, my eyes start getting opened up to God, to Jesus. And I start having desires for Him. I start having affection towards Him. I start thinking about Him. I hadn't done that before. I found myself, even like I wasn't going to church, I'm still doing drugs, but I found myself listening to some preachers that I'd heard about. I even ordered I would get up on Saturday because there was a guy that would come on Saturday around 12 o'clock. And that was about my waking up time on Saturday. And so I could get up and watch a guy by the name of Jack Van Impe. Remember him? Great guy. He's in heaven now. And so I even ordered one of his cassettes, you know, from his ministry and stuff to listen to that. And, you know, and I know it doesn't seem like a big thing, but, you know, now we're not listening to Led Zeppelin and smoking marijuana. We're listening to Jack Van Impe and smoking marijuana. I'm just being honest with you. I remember, you know, in those days, there was a guy, he was a really a going, Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, he had the biggest ministry in the world at that time. It was humongous. And going, he had his issues and fell and things like that and all. But and I remember being outside with a portable cassette player smoking pot and listening to Jimmy Swaggart. Come on now, what's happening here? The blinders, the God of this world hath blinded the minds, that those that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Somebody's praying for me. I don't realize what's going on, but somebody's praying for me. And those mind-blinding spirits, they're getting shaken off of my mind. That's why we pray for people to get born again, delivered. Why? Because somebody's got to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, intercede for them, do for them what they can't do for themselves. That's what intercession is doing. It's doing something for someone else that at this point in their life, they can't do it for themselves. They don't know enough. And so and it didn't happen like overnight, but just a little bit at a time. It just began to happen. And it got so strong on me where my eyes were being opened and I was actually turning in my heart. I hadn't turned in my lifestyle, but turning in my heart from darkness to light. Amen. Because the God of this world that has blinded my mind was losing his hold. And eventually, you know, it got so strong that I wrote that same Jimmy Swaggart a letter. I wrote him a letter. And because I started feeling like I'm called to preach. And I'm like, so I write him a letter. I tell him, I want to tell you this. I do these drugs. I did all kinds of drugs. I do these drugs. And I feel like I might be called to preach. Now, I thought that meant I'm going to Africa. And which, nothing wrong with that, God called you, but my vision of Africa that time and going to Africa just didn't fit with what I wanted for my life, you know. And so I wrote Brother Swaggart a letter because I didn't know very many preachers. You understand, that wasn't my world. I had never heard of Kenneth Hagin or any of the others. I'd heard of Brother Swaggart. I heard of Oral Roberts. I heard of Billy Graham and Jack Van Impe. And mom's pastor from the Baptist church. He married you guys, Randy. What was his name? Herschel Walker. Herschel Long. I knew these, but, well, Joe Carter, I'd heard of him. I knew him, another preacher that's gone to heaven. But that wasn't my word, but I knew who Brother Swaggart was. I didn't know him. Of course, I knew who he was. I wrote him a letter and said, look, here's what's happening in my life. I feel like I'm called to preach. Could this be possible? 2 weeks later, I got a letter back and said, yeah, it's very possible. But the first thing you need to do is get saved. Hey, that's good advice. Then he said, get in a local church because that's where your ministry is going to get developed. Get under a pastor is what he was saying. But anyway, I'm just saying to you, I couldn't see it until those blinders started coming off. Mm-hmm. Now, once you and I get saved, how many know we're delivered from that? Right. We're delivered from, but if you let the devil have your mind, he'll still blind you. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Even if you're a believer, right, it doesn't mean he's not still working on your mind. Saint or sinner, the battle's in the mind. How many know that? Yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Go there. 2 Corinthians 11. See, if Satan can keep your mind after you get saved, if Satan can keep your mind, he can keep your victory. Right? In other words, you may go to heaven, but you're not going to have much victory on the earth. That is why some of the songs we used to sing in old Pentecost, some of them were really good. They were. But some of them, they were written by people whose minds weren't totally renewed. Everything was put off till heaven. But God's given us some glory to walk in now. Yeah. I mean, thank God, heaven's going to be much better than Evansville. I can promise you that. No matter how good you have it here in this life, once you get to heaven, it's going to be better. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul, you know, when he talked about whether he was going to stay or he's going to go on and be with the Lord, he said to die is gain. Well, how could it be gain unless life got better? Gain. And really, the meaning of that word gain is really the word promotion. When you die, you get promoted. Yep. One guy said this, and I think he's right. He said, when you die, if you're a believer, and when you die, you look down on your body laying there on that table or bed or wherever it's at, and you'll say, thank God that's over with. Yeah. I just saw a testimony, it was off Fox News, of a lady that she was on the operating table. I think that's what it was, if I remember right. Yeah, I think they were doing surgery on her, and she died. They hit a a vein or something, artery, something wrong, and she just bled to death internally. And she said, and I believe her testimony, I could just tell she was genuine. She said, next thing I knew, I was looking down on my body and they were working on my body and it was a bloody mess. And I saw them working on me and she said, I thought to myself, boy, I don't want to go back in that. Isn't that something? She said, then Jesus met me and said, well, he said to her, he said, you can either come or you can stay. And she had this disease that caused a lot of pain in her body. That's why they were doing surgery on her. And she said, but I was so filled with the love of God. She said, I never sensed the love of God so much in my life. I never sensed anything like this. She said, you know, I thought if I died, I'd be in heaven. But Jesus came to meet me here on the earth and told me I could either come or I could stay. She said, I was so filled with love. She said, I thought about my husband. I thought about my 7-year-old son and thought, well, if I go, my 7-year-old son may never ever get saved. So she's decided to stay. But she said, I really didn't want to go back in that body down there because she said, I was in pain. She said, after I went back, I was still in pain for 7 months before I got healed in a meeting. But, you know, the thing of it was, once she got out of her body, it wasn't like, oh, I've lost something. It's like I gained something. Hallelujah. Anyway, your mind has to be renewed to think that way. How many know that? Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't even know why I was off on that, but anyway, hope you got something out of that. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent or the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So how many know the devil can still corrupt your mind even though you're saved if you don't do something with it? Amen? You can't just think any old way you think and it not change your life. I saw this out of that verse, that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, Satan blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine them. I saw this one time. The mind actually has the ability to dim the gospel. What's keeping the people out in the world, what's keeping them from being saved? It's their minds. Yeah. Satan's got a hold of their minds. They get their minds, you know, they get their minds loosed and they'll run to Jesus. And he knows that. So he tries to keep tries to keep that veil on them so they can't see. Yeah. I just don't get it, you know. It's because my mind is open up. But I mean, I'm just, you know, Phyllis will know who I mean, but I was just talking to a guy 90 years old this week about giving his life to Jesus. You know, when you're 90, you know, I mean, that's close. And I talked to the guy before, and he thanked me, and he was kind to me. He said, well, that, you know, I forget what he said. You may remember, I may have told you, but he said something like, that's for you, but, you know, that's just not for me. And so I woke up the other morning and he was on my mind. I thought, well, I'm going to call him again and just talk to him again and all. And he still was kind. He was still nice, you know, and all that. But at 90, how many know, the only thing, you know, it's not that it's going to mess up his party life. Right? It isn't even like he's going to have to change his lifestyle much. He's not doing anything but hanging around in bed. I mean, he even when I talked to him, he said, well, I can only talk for a little while. And he wasn't being rude. He said, I just, you know, he's only got so much energy. And so I'm going to talk for a while. I said, well, we'll talk here a little bit. And so, you know, and he was really nice about it. I mean, he wanted to talk, but he just let me know right up front, if this conversation is long, it's because I'm 90 years old. What's wrong here? Why can't you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He's not going to mess your party life up. You're not doing anything. It's the blinders. Now, I'm believing that before he goes, all the seed that's been sown in him is going to reap a harvest. Even if it's at the last moment. I feel like we reap Phyllis's father at the last moment. He was on his deathbed, and I was going to preach somewhere and stopped by there. And he couldn't really talk to you, you know. He couldn't talk any longer. He was that far gone. And I tried to get him to give his life to the Lord before, and he was like, "No, that's for you, and that's for Phyllis, but that's not for me." And but he was on his deathbed. He actually died that night, and I was going to preach somewhere, and I drove by his house, and I stopped in and prayed with him. And he couldn't talk, but I, you know, say much. He just couldn't talk. And so I'm praying with him, and I get done. I'm praying for him to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And when I got done praying, he mouthed, just barely breathed these words, "Amen." You know what amen means? I agree. So how many of you agreed with that? Guess where he's at? Now, a few hours later, he passed on. Just a few hours. But that's good enough for Jesus. He's not here trying to keep you out. The thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me." He said, "You're going to be with me in paradise today." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's our good God. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, her sister actually saw that.
The Lord told her he's learning how to be happy.
Well, I'm going to say that for the people. Her sister actually saw a mini vision of her dad, her and Phyllis's dad in heaven, and the Lord said to her, "He's learning how to be happy." Hallelujah. Now, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Some people may go that way. However you get there, it's going to be good. But I want what Peter called an abundant entrance. Did you know what we're doing now? This has nothing to do with renewing the mind, but it's just coming up. Do you know what we're doing now? What we're doing for God now is shaping our future eternity. Because in the kingdom to come, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Right? So, I mean, what city do you want to rule over? You want to rule over a good city? You want to rule in Hawaii? You better get busy working for God. That's a joke. But how many know it is true? We get rewards, right?
Yeah.
Right? See, we don't talk about this much, but what we do now, we're building for eternity.
Yes, we are. Amen.
Amen. Peter talked about having an abundant entrance. Well, if you can have an abundant entrance, you can have a "I just got in" entrance. Yeah. See, someone like her father, he didn't do anything for the kingdom of God. I'm not saying he didn't do any good things, but he wasn't saved. He didn't do anything for the kingdom of God. He didn't have time. He got saved of just a few hours before he died. But he got in. Hallelujah. That's going to be a lot better than being out. Amen. And even Jesus said, "Many that are first will be last, and last will be first." So we leave all that up to him. Amen. All right, so look at, we're in 2 Corinthians, I think we are. Let's go to chapter 10. You're in 11, go to chapter 10. So remember the madman of Gadara? How many remember the story about him? Jesus comes over there and, you know, and this guy, I mean, he's a mess. I mean, he's cutting himself with stones. He's been bound with shackles and chains and they couldn't hold him. He'd pluck them apart through the demonic power. You know, you and I have seen some messed up people, but most of us have never seen this messed up of a person. But there are people, the devil messes up this bad. One time, Dr. Barclay, I forget what country he was in now, but he showed us the picture one time. He was going down, the Lord, I led him to go down this path with the people he's with, and I think they were kind of telling him, "So I don't think you want to go down here, Doc." Yeah, but, you know, no, he felt led. Let's go down here. He went down there, and he came to this place, and there was a girl, a young girl, chained to a tree, just full of demons, chained to the tree. Now, I know most Sunday morning services, they don't even know, they don't even know that demons exist, but they do. And he said he's chained to a tree. He said it made me furious that they'd chain this girl to this tree. And so he stops there, and then the guy of the house comes out. He says, "Hey, let her loose." And the guy's going, no, you know, no, we can't do that. And you know, Doc was a Marine drill sergeant. How many know they have a way of saying things that you do it before you realize you've done it? Because he could, not that he would, he could literally kill you in less than 2 minutes with his hands. He's trained to do that. Doesn't even have to have a weapon, just his hands. He knows how to do it. So people in his church behave. Well, that's not always true. They don't in any church. It's like a woman in his church one time said, "I'm leaving the church." He said, "Why?" She said, "There's no love here." He said, "She was the worst troublemaker in the whole church. There's just no love here." And he said, "Yes, there is." "No, there's not." He said, "The fact that we let you stay proves we walk in love." That was funny. I think it registered with her. I think she got it and stayed. It's like, "Well, that makes sense." But he saw it, and he told the guy, and, you know, he barked it out about turning her loose. And the guy, you know, he unchained her, and she took off running, and he had his guys run after her and tackle her. And they got her on the ground. He got her delivered. And you see, and you could see this. If it's just such a blessing. You see him standing there, and there's this young lady. I guess she's probably maybe it could be late teens, early 20s, long dark hair, just smiling from ear to ear. Delivered because of Jesus. She was holding the chains. One of them was holding the chains that she was shackled with, and she just standing there, just smiling. Just a few hours ago or hour ago, whatever, she's chained to a tree because she would kill herself. That's the way the devil, that's what he wants to do with everybody. Right? What do you think? What do you think people take their lives? See, Paul said, God's not given us the spirit of, but of, and of what? A sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, the interesting thing, when you study out that Greek word, so Greek word, something like so, where it says sound mind, sophronismos, one of the things it means is safe thinking. In other words, you can have unsafe thinking. Your mind's not sound. Well, I mean, if your mind's not sound, you're not thinking right. And so you meet people that their minds aren't sound, they have unsafe thinking. Why do people take their lives? You're not fixing anything. Even young people, because their minds get filled with such garbage that they don't think right. Amen. That's why we need a good old-fashioned gospel preached back in America instead of just telling everybody you're wonderful, everything's fine, everything's good. It's not if you don't know Jesus and you're not walking in His Word. Right? There's no promise you're going to have a good life outside of Christ. And so people take their life. You hear young kids, it just really bothers you. You know, their girlfriend broke up with them, and they take their life. And it's like, listen, pal, if you just think right, all right, one girl out of 4.5 billion broke up with you. There's still 4.5 billion left. Not all of them are married. You're just not thinking right. How many just admit that you had an old flame that you thank God Almighty every day that you didn't marry them? Look at Mark. He's like, "I'm not talking." You just better be glad you got who you got, Mark, because we all know why. How many understand what I'm talking about? See what their minds are messed up. That Satan's got a hold of their mind. Their minds are blinded. They're not thinking right. They're not thinking safe. Right? Christians get that way. They don't stay in the house of God. They don't stay in church. They don't think right. They don't think straight. Their minds get messed up. They start doing things and they think, "Why are you doing this? This will mess your life up." I've talked to people. We've had people leave our church. I'm like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I mean, you could leave our church. You don't have to stay at our church, but don't leave the church. I mean, at least go find a good pastor somewhere, somebody. Don't get out there by yourself. You're going to get yourself, Satan's going to eat your lunch. You know how we say eat your lunch and what? Remember that? Pop the bag. Come on, how many are old enough you took your lunch in a bag? Oh, yeah, we had a guy that when he was a kid, he always brought his lunch to school in a brown paper bag. And then when he got done eating it, he would fold it up and take it home, bring it back the next day. I mean, his mom was really touchy about paper bags, evidently. But we end up calling him Sack. Seriously, and it stuck. I mean, even when he was in his 20s, we still called him Sack. Because he's real protective over his sack. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Joey. Yeah. Yeah. We never called him Joey. We always called him Sack. Well, have you know, you and I need to understand that there is safe thinking, there's unsafe thinking. And you have to check your thinking. Am I thinking right? Am I thinking safe?
Right?
Well, how do I start thinking right? Well, start thinking like God thinks. Well, how do I think like God thinks? Well, start listening to people that know him and start reading his book. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. Did you get anything this morning? 2 Corinthians 10, I think we're about done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go with me to verse 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So we must be in a war, right? You know, the battle's been won. I mean, you know, the whole thing, Jesus defeated the devil. But, he's not gone home to the house yet. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Notice this, they're mighty. Everybody say they're mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, how many thoughts?
Every thought.
Every thought to what?
Obedience.
To the obedience of Christ. Not to what we think it should be, but what Christ said it should be. See? There's a huge difference. Hear me look. So I wanted to read this verse because I wanted you to see that we are in a warfare. Now, when we think of warfare, you know, sometimes people think about, man, we're doing warfare with the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about in your mind. And notice he uses military terms, pull down, cast down, bring into captivity. Right. This is warfare, isn't it? So you have to, I mean, you got to guard your mind. You got to pull down strongholds. You got to cast down imaginations. Some translations say arguments or reasonings. What's that? Reasonings or imaginations against the word. I do like the word imagination because that's how the devil works. He starts giving you images of things, images of failure. He puts that in your mind and you gotta cast it down. And you gotta bring into thought, into captivity, every thought. In other words, what is captivity? You gotta arrest it. You gotta arrest it. Anybody ever been? You don't have to raise your hand. This is live stream. I don't want you to not get that next job. Anybody ever been arrested? Why'd you get arrested? Well, I don't know. I was just being good, nice, and sweet, and kind, you know. Just giving people compliments, and they arrested me for it. No. You were doing what? You were breaking the law. I was breaking the law one night. 8 state cop cars come pulling in. That's when you know you're in trouble. When they sent everybody from the post. My gosh, they're mad. And one of the guys had the audacity to steal, while they were trying to arrest us, they didn't have him. He stole the license plate off the back of their car and broke their antenna. And they were really mad about that. Matter of fact, they told us that if you'll just tell us who did that, we'll let you go. You know where rats go. In the sewer, man. It's like, can't do that. I actually didn't know who did it at the time when they were asking us. But why were they after us? We were breaking some laws. Not just one, several. And they caught us. I still don't know how they did, but they did. See, what's happening? We have thoughts that break the law of God. We have to run them down. You know, we don't call Jesus to do it. It says you bring it into captivity. You arrest it. You do something with it. What about? So, how many? The devil brings. He brings weird thoughts to everybody. Now, some people may not. Maybe some thoughts you don't think, but that others do think, and some that you think others don't think. How many know? If you're just going along one day and you get this thought, maybe it's time for you to get a different spouse. Can anybody figure out where that came from? What should you do with that? Entertain it? You should arrest it. It's breaking the law. The Bible says rejoice with the wife or the husband, you could say, of your youth. One guy said one time he was standing up. I don't know where he was standing. He was standing way up high on some kind of tower or something. He was looking down, way down. And he said he heard this voice said, jump. He said, I said back, I'm not jumping, you jump. What's happening there? Well, you don't think the devil would tell you things like that? Why do you think people jump? Because they listened. I've seen them pull people off bridges and stuff. I mean, it's like, come down, man. Whatever you're doing is fixable. You may not see how it's fixable. Maybe it won't get fixed overnight, but if you keep doing what God said to do, it's going to fix it. Just keep doing it. And so people take their lives and stuff like that. Well, the devil will suggest all kinds of things to you. Well, you'll never have this. You'll never have that. You'll never be healed. Come on. You'll never, this never, that never. God never tells you that. One thing I've noticed when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes the devil will show up and say, you didn't get it. He did me that way. And, you know, for a little bit I listened to it until I got wise to it. It's like, the Lord's not telling. The Lord told me if I'd ask for the Holy Spirit, I'd receive Him. I ask, He wouldn't. They say, now you didn't get it. People think, like people, the devil. One lady one time, she said, well, she was saved. She said, now I'd get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm just not worthy. He thinks telling her that. She said, I got to clean my life up a little bit. So one pastor that was there at the time, he said, let me get this correct. This was brilliant. He said, you're saved, right? Yeah. If you died, you'd go to heaven, right? Yeah. So you're telling me you're worthy enough to die and go to heaven, but not receive the Holy Spirit to help you on the earth. She said, lay hands on me and pray for me. See, who was giving her that thought? See, it was an unsafe thought. Unsafe. Some practices are unsafe. Some thoughts are unsafe. You have to line them up, bring them into captivity to the Word of God so you have safe thinking.
Yes. Sometimes you got to shoot them on sight.
Do y'all hear that? Sometimes you got to shoot them on sight. Well, the thing of it is it will stay if you let it. It'll stay as long as you let it. The devil will just, you got to run it off. I used to have those thoughts, you know, like, well, you'll never have this, or you'll never have that, and so forth. And one time I was having this thought about what I was going to do about my future, some future things, you know. They look kind of uncertain. And I'm thinking, and I know better than to think those thoughts. The Bible says don't worry about the future, doesn't it? And I got in a service, and the pastor's wife, who she was a preacher too, she prophesied to me and said, the Lord told me to tell you this and told me, just read my mail. I thought, well, okay, I just got rebuked for thinking stupid. Now, she didn't know it. She just gave me what she felt like the Lord told her to tell me. And I you know, to me, it was just like, you remember Meeni, Meeni, Tekel, Upharsin and Daniel?
Yeah.
You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. I felt like that night that finger wrote on my forehead. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin, thou art stupid. Because you're thinking stupid thoughts from a stupid devil. And God had to send one of His servants to say, stop thinking so stupid. There's no kids in here I can say the word stupid. Anyway, how many get what I'm saying? Those thoughts weren't my thoughts. They were the devil's thoughts, and I took them, and I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have been concerned about the future. I didn't say they shouldn't plan for the future, but I shouldn't have been worried about the future. Do what God said do, and everything will work out. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.